Welcome to Marketing for the Sales Guy, a podcast that aims to share marketing ideas that salespeople can use, but also hopefully will be relevant to B2B marketers that want to see sales results from their marketing efforts. Okay, want to manage expectations for new listeners today? I'm using the Anchor app to record the podcast, which is a great app. Really recommend it. It's a quick and easy way to generate content. But that said, don't expect the best quality production. It's not studio-like quality, but it is very good. Second thing I wanted to mention is that if you're expecting lots of smart, interesting guests, it's not going to happen today, because it's just me talking about what I think might be of interest to marketers. And today's topic is really about webinars. I'm quite interested to know how they perform, how marketers use them, especially in Asia. What are the common factors that the best performing webinars share? And maybe some ideas for how to improve the performance of webinars. So I'm kind of interested to look at that today. Now, obviously, webinars have been around a fair while, since the 1990s. They normally have one or multiple presenters, normally using PowerPoint slides. And they're normally 45 to 60 minutes. I think in the past, it has been mainly tech companies that have used them. But now I think companies from all industries use webinars in their marketing approach. Though that said, 29% of webinars are still tech or software companies. And I think the next big industry categories are financial services and education. In terms of marketing, I think there's a figure out there that everybody uses is 73% of B2B marketers say that webinars are the best way to generate leads. So that's something that is pretty impressive. I know Harvard Business Review and Analytics Services did some research, global research, a few years ago, which indicated that marketers were 44% were planning to use webinars more and more. And certainly for the business audience that they cater for, 50% of business leaders do consume content via webinars, with 40% suggesting that it's probably the most effective way for them to consume content. So these are global figures. What about Asia? Well, this is where it's a little bit disappointing, I have to say. I did a fair amount of research trying to find figures for webinars in Asia. I did come across one figure out of Singapore, which suggested 60% of marketers in Singapore use webinars. And that does seem to be a trend. I just couldn't back that up with other sources of data. One thing I wanted to question was this whole notion that, webinars are not big in Asia because people in Asia prefer face-to-face meetings. That's the common kind of perception. And certainly this is something I came across a few years ago. The only people that were doing webinars in Asia were those that were trying to reach a US audience. But I think that's changing, and I was hoping to back that up with some data, but I couldn't really find any. So I'm just kind of having to rely on my own anecdotal evidence that I've had more and more inquiries the last few years from clients in Asia that want to use webinars to reach an audience in Asia. And obviously that's before the current coronavirus situation. So I think long term there is a demand for webinars in Asia, and certainly in the short term I think the current situation with live events being postponed, it's very kind of valid channel to use. So what do we know about the best performing webinars? Well, there's a lot of stats out there, and I think GoToWebinar have some of the best stats. They have some interesting stats about the best ways to promote webinars. They've done a lot of research and have their webinar platform, so they have a lot of users that they've been able to survey. And it seems that Tuesday is the best day to be promoting webinars. Not sure why, but Monday to Wednesday are pretty good, but Tuesday is the best day. 8 till 10 in the morning is the best time to be promoting webinars. I think a third of registrations come in at that time. Email is still the dominant channel to promote webinars. Some 73% of registrations come through email. And you know, the best time to be promoting webinars is as short as 1 week before the webinar. It seems most registrations come in 1 week before the webinar. As to the webinar on the day, it seems Wednesday or Thursdays are the best days to have webinars in terms of registrations and getting live registration, live attendees. Wednesday seems to be the best. And times 10 seems to be the best time, with 11 being the next best time. So those are the best times to have webinars. Interestingly, 60-minute webinars attract twice as many registrations as 30-minute webinars, which kind of surprises me. I thought more people would sign up for the shorter webinars, but that doesn't seem to be the case. In terms of live attendance of webinars, On24, who are another webinar platform, suggests the global average is 46%. I've seen a lot of other data suggesting 30 to 40% is a kind of more accurate measure, certainly for marketing kind of webinars. That seems to be the figure for a respectable live attendance. On24 also mentioned that the research they've done suggests that actually B2B buyers, 84%, prefer to watch on-demand video anyway. Webinars anyway. So if that, that might be something you might want to think about in your strategy in terms of promoting webinars. If you are particularly interested in a live audience for your webinar, you have to probably bear that 30% live figure in mind and really adjust your promotion accordingly to get the required number of registrations so that you get that live figure. So that might mean starting your promotions earlier, maybe sending out more email reminders. So that's probably something that should be done. But what other things can we do to improve webinars? A number of suggestions that I've seen out there that to improve the performance of webinar. On24 have some suggestions, actually. They make an interesting point that marketers the last 10 years or so have just kind of looked at technology as a way of kind of increasing the scale and reach of marketing, where what seems to be lost is engagement, and they regard webinars not just as a lead gen tool, but as a real engagement tool, so as a way to engage your audience. And even if you have some pre-recorded elements of your webinar, they suggest you try and make the feel of the webinar as live as possible. So in use a lot of Q&A and polls during the webinar just to give it that live kind of feel, so that you kind of really do focus more on the engagement. One idea related to that was actually to ask participants to, when they're signing up, is to actually ask them a question about what they want to see answered in the webinar. That might be a way of ensuring that people tune into the webinar if they know their specific question might get answered. Another idea was to use more audio. Audio is actually easier. It's easier to get good speakers because they can dial in remotely. It's easier to produce, so you can actually produce a lot more webinars and be more effective that way. Again, On24 have a figure here of 60% of their webinars are actually audio. And I know from my own experience with Harvard Business Review, the webinars there, 50% of them are audio as well. And I think that's something that people maybe shouldn't be shy of. I know everybody is talking really about using video more and more for business audiences, but I think the growth of podcasts points to the use of audio as quite a good channel to reach, certainly business people. And I know marketing luminaries such as Gary Vaynerchuk have been talking about audio for a while now, audio branding, and how audio search and Alexa is going to be very much the kind of marketing channel of the future to pay attention to. But I think there's also a lot of evidence out there that, again, for the business audience, relating to podcasts and audio, that it's a very good way for business people to consume content. I think there is a lot of research around passive engagement, suggesting that when you're actually engaged in a low-level activity and you're listening in at some content, you actually retain much more, and you actually it's much more beneficial to listen to content that way. So that's kind of interesting. Some other ideas about using webinars is to kind of, similar to the points about engagement, is to kind of personalize the experience a little bit more. A lot of tech companies use 45-minute webinars, which are very much top of the funnel thought leadership tools, but more tech companies are now doing shorter 15-minute sessions, more personal in the fact that they're focusing maybe on a smaller group, an industry group, or a group of prospects or clients that are facing similar challenges, so issue-based webinars, and making them a regular feature so that every Tuesday they have a webinar on this kind of subject and they really go deep on a topic. So I think that's something that is interesting, and I think they're finding that they're actually replacing e-newsletters. Doing the regular shorter webinars actually replaces e-newsletters. And I think for many B2B marketers that are planning account-based marketing campaigns, this plays very well to that as well, because you can actually generate a lot more personalized content for and repurpose that for ABM campaigns. So I think that's kind of interesting. Another idea, which is kind of a bit more of an e-commerce idea, but it may be suitable for some B2B marketers, is the always-on webinar or the just-in-time webinar. These are the webinars where when you visit a website, you get a message saying that this webinar is going to start in the next 30 minutes. And I think there's a amount of evidence that's suggesting that when people see that, they have 30 minutes to prepare, which is good. That's enough time to think about what you want to learn from the webinar. But it's also hitting people when they're the most interested. So rather than listening to a webinar a week later, they are interested in that subject now, so they register now, and they're able to participate in the webinar in 30 minutes time. I guess it's a little bit gimmicky, but I think it's a kind of smart way to kind of experiment with webinars and do webinars a different way to improve performance. So those are a couple of ideas I think could work for webinars, or at least give you some ideas to think about. So I think, you know, ideas are pretty good. So, three quick takeaways from today's podcast. Number one, webinars are used extensively in Asia by marketers. Not much data presently to show that, but I think ON24, the webinar platform I mentioned earlier, will be publishing some data on that very soon, so look out for that. Number two, webinars best practices. Best promotes webinars Monday to Wednesday between 8 and 10 a.m. Heavily promote or remind the week before the event, and indeed on the morning of the event. And have your event on a Wednesday at either 10 or 11 o'clock, and make the webinar a 60-minute webinar. And finally, number three, don't just use it as a lead gen tool. Make it feel live, engage the audience, make it a real event. Also, try using audio-only webinars, or experiment between audio and video and see what works best. The last idea is also to maybe try shorter, more detailed webinars for different segments of your audience. Just provide some greater personalization of content. So, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, do share. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. If you want to access other podcasts and related articles, you can visit us at omjmedia.com. That's omjmedia.com. Until next time, bye-bye.